Here we are in Matthew chapter number 2. We have the only account in Scripture of the wise men. Now it's interesting that they sang that song, "Bring Him Gifts." The only account in Scripture, you read the other scriptural accounts of the birth of Christ, they do not include the wise men. It's the only place that you'll find it, Matthew chapter number 2. Now the Bible says that the wise men came from the east, in verse number 1, from the east to Jerusalem. Probably they came from Persia. If you took a line on a map and drew it east, you would find that the Persian Empire was right there. And it makes sense because Daniel had a great influence in Persia. And they were reading the book of Daniel. And so probably in Babylon is where they came from. And if that is the case, then look at Ezra chapter 7. Now don't lose your place here, but Ezra chapter number 7, and we have an exact timeline of how long it takes to get from Babylon to Jerusalem. And a typical journey during that time, Ezra chapter 7, Ezra went from Babylon to Jerusalem. The Bible tells us how long it took him. Ezra 7 verse 9, "For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him." It's about a 4-month journey. So a typical timeline that we have even here in the Bible, it was probably a 4-month journey from where they came, probably Babylon, to Jerusalem. Now, we know from verse number 16 of our text, in Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men came to Herod, thinking that he would have the answer. Where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So they went to the palace where the king was. And they said to Herod, where is the king? And Herod looked at his wife and he said, I don't know, are you expecting? No, we're not going to have a baby. And so they got the scriptures out and they opened them up. And sure enough, they found out that this baby was to be born in Bethlehem. And so as he got the timeline from them, how long it was from the time that they left in verse number 16, and the wise men went back another way. They were warned of God, so they didn't go back to Herod and tell Herod. They went home another way. So they probably went down below the Dead Sea and went across. And if you could just sit still, that would be a big help to me. Thank you. And so they went across, and so they went back home. Now Herod, verse 16, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." So we find that Jesus Christ was not a baby anymore. From 2 years old and under. There's a big difference between a newborn baby and a 2-year-old, isn't there? Ask everybody who has a 2-year-old, okay? There's a big difference between a newborn baby and someone who is a child. And that's what it says, the young child. So the wise men, contrary to your nativity set, all right, sorry, the wise men did not come to the manger, all right? The wise men did not come to the stable and see Jesus in a manger. The Bible says, matter of fact, they came to the house. A house is different than a manger. A house is where they lived. Look at verse number... verse number 8. "And when they came to Bethlehem, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child." And then you go in verse number 9. "When they heard the king, they departed, and all the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." Verse 11. "When they were come into the house." It wasn't the manger. It wasn't the stable. It wasn't no room for them in the inn. This is different. So here's Mary. Here are Mary and Joseph back living in a house with a little boy, Jesus. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. So we're going to do a little study here. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse number 21. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 21, it is after Bethlehem. It is after the nativity, it is after the manger, and here Mary and Joseph come to Jerusalem. Now think about it. When the wise men came to Jerusalem, Who is the king sitting on the throne? Herod, okay? Was he glad that there was another king? No. Did he put a bounty on his head? Yes. Did he murder all the young children? Yes, okay? So if you think about it in that context as well, Mary and Joseph went back to Jerusalem in verse 21. Now, it would have been suicide for them to go back to Jerusalem if the wise men had been at the manger and they knew that Herod had a price on Jesus' head. Verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, 40 days, they brought him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or what? Two young pigeons. Okay, now I want you to hold on to that thought for a minute, okay, because we're going somewhere. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, if the wise men had come to the manger and there was a bounty on Jesus and he was going to be hunted and he was going to be killed, why would they go back to Jerusalem where they knew he would be killed? Why would they come into the temple in Jerusalem? And think about this. The wise men offered three gifts. What were they? What was the first one? Gold, okay? Now, in the offering of the gold, if the wise men had given the gold to Mary and Joseph, the sacrifice that they offered, two young pigeons or two turtle doves, was for the poor people. They weren't poor anymore, okay? If you have gold, you're not poor, okay? They didn't come with just little treasures, I don't think, right? They took this probably 4-month-plus journey, and they gave Jesus gold and frankincense and myrrh after Mary and Joseph were poor and had to go to Jerusalem and offer the offering for the poor. Well, now they're back in Bethlehem. They hadn't gone to Egypt yet because there wasn't a bounty on Jesus yet till the wise men left. You got the timeline? That makes sense, right? A lot in this Bible, isn't there? Now, in verse number 11 of Matthew chapter 2 in our text, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Here they are in the house. First, the wise men came to Jerusalem. Here they come. Why did they come? Verse 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, why did they know that a star was the indicator that Christ would come? They had read about it in the Bible. You can read about it in the book of Numbers. Balaam prophesied about the star. They were studying the book of Daniel. They were studying Scripture. Look at chapter 9 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter number 9. They're studying Scripture. And verse number 24. They're reading. Now think about how much Scripture they had. It wasn't much. They're reading Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So they're studying the 70 weeks of Daniel, and they've got the whole prophecy, and they're probably astrologers. They're watching the sky, and they're looking for signs, and they realize the book of Numbers says that a star would punctuate the coming of the birth of Christ. Look at John chapter number 5. Can I tell you something? When you study the scriptures, you will find Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John chapter 5 and verse number 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. How did they know who Jesus was? They were reading the scriptures. They were reading the Bible. Listen, we need to read the Bible. We need to read the Bible more than we ever read it. Read it, meditate on it, memorize it, have it running through your mind, have it on your computer, put it on in your car, keep it on your phone, keep it everywhere you go. I heard a preacher, and he said this. He said there was a man who was witnessing to a guy on a city street in a bad neighborhood, and the guy was just kind of mocking him, and he said, listen, you need to be saved. And that young man said, no. He said, I don't know if I believe all that stuff. I don't know if I want to be. And the preacher said to him, the evangelist out there preaching on the street, he said, listen, I am so burdened for you to get saved that I'm going to give you my New Testament. And the punk out on the street said, you know what, if you give me that New Testament, he said, I am going to roll up cigarettes with that Bible paper every day, and I'm going to smoke them. And the soul winner said, listen, that's okay if you make me a promise. I guess these make good cigarette wrappers, right? The guys tell me that sometimes. And he said, you make me a promise. He said, you can do that, but before you roll up every cigarette and smoke it, I want you to read that page first. You have a deal? He said, that's a deal, preacher. He gave him his New Testament. He didn't see that man. And a few years went by. He was in a meeting. And this man came up to him and he says, preacher, do you remember me? And he said, you know what? I don't know. You look familiar. He said, I'm the guy who was on the street corner, and you witnessed to me, and I told you I was going to take that Bible you gave me, and I was going to roll up cigarettes in every page of that Bible, and I was going to smoke them. He said, oh, yeah, I remember you. He said, how did that go? He said, preacher, he said, you gave me that New Testament, and I rolled up the cigarettes, and I rolled up the book of Matthew, but I read it first, and I rolled up the book of Mark, and I rolled up the book of June, which comes next? Luke, right? And he said, man, when I got to the book of John, he said, John smoked me. And he said, I got saved. You can't read the scripture and not have it affect you. Now let's look at this thought. That passage in Numbers chapter 24 and verse number 17. Here's the thought. I want you to look at verse 11. We read it a few times already. Three words. And when they were coming to the house, first word is, come. They came. They came into the house. They came to Jerusalem. They came from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They came to see Christ. They came. The next word, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Here's a three-point outline. They came, they saw, they worshipped. What a great thing. You know, we'd do well if we did the same thing. If we'd come and we'd see and we would worship. They gave sacrifice. Now I want you to think about this. As these wise men, we don't know how many there were. We always sing, right? We three kings. We don't know there were three. There could have been one. There could have been two, right? Men, the plural. There could have been 20. We just say three because they brought three gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. It would have been nice if it would have took, you know, four or five of them to carry all that gold. Would have been nice if it took 20 of them to bring all those gifts and see Christ. We don't know how many there were. But as they came to Jerusalem and they came to Herod, Herod wanted to know, what's the answer? You came here. Obviously, this is not the place. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He said, look, you're the ones who read the scripture. Herod couldn't read the scripture. He was not a Jew. Herod could not have access to the scripture. He was a Gentile. And he said, look, I don't know what the scripture says. You know what the scripture says. Yeah, just these guys need to sit down, okay? Something. Thank you. It's like a carnival, okay? Now, welcome back. Now, you know what the scripture said. And so he said, I'm demanding of you, where should Christ be born? They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor and shall rule my people Israel. Did the religious crowd know what the Bible said? Yes, they did. They had the scripture. They nailed it down. They knew where Christ should be born. Did they go and see him? No. They knew up here. They didn't follow Christ. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't know the author. There's a big difference. They knew the scriptures. They knew he was born. They knew where he was born, but they didn't go. They knew the scriptures, but they didn't worship. Later, these same people, you read in Matthew chapter 26, it was the same people. It was the religious people. It was the chief priests that crucified our Savior in Matthew 26. They knew the scriptures, but they missed it. They knew who the Messiah was to be, and they missed it. They missed it again, and they crucified him. They came to Jesus. We have more scripture knowledge than they did. We have a complete Bible. We have the whole New Testament. We have from Daniel on. They didn't have much of that. It was missing. It just wasn't here yet. It wasn't in one place. We have more knowledge than they did. Look at Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter 12. And verse number 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, the greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, the greater than Solomon is here. Here is a scorching condemnation our Savior gave. He said, look, there are people back there that they didn't know much, but they operated on what they had. They didn't have much scripture, but they did what they could. They didn't have much scripture, but they were searching for the truth. And they got the truth. And one day, those who had little will condemn those of us who have much. I've got 25 Bibles in my office if I have one. I've got 100 Bibles in a bookcase. I can't throw a Bible away. They're all the same version, amen? There's only one in English, King James Version. And, you know, I just have to put them up on a shelf. And there they go. And I've got 100 Bibles in the bookcase. There's dozens of Bibles out here. We have dozens of Bibles at home. We've got more than the whole history of this time of the Bible had. And yet they did what they could with what they had. Notice verse number 8. And he sent them from Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They came to Jesus. They were following the word of God. God gave them a star. They followed the scripture. They followed a star. They came to Christ. Have you come to Christ? Is Jesus your Savior? Is Jesus your King? Does he reign on the throne of your heart? Now, the Bible tells us that they were following the star to Jerusalem. I don't know why the star stopped in Jerusalem, but there was a reason why. Herod had to hear there was a king. Scribes and chief priests had to look in the Bible. The star must have continued on. Bethlehem's not far. You could walk there in just less than a few hours. And so here they were going from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They came to Christ. With their limited knowledge, they came to Christ. On a dangerous journey. Can you imagine traveling for 4 months with whatever they had? I don't know. You read the Golden Book, right? They had camels. So I don't know what they had. They might have had Humvees. They might have had, I don't know, might have had, I don't know, push carts. They had horses, maybe? Donkeys? Camels? They might have had camels. 4 months with gold. You think that was dangerous? It was dangerous. Frankincense, a very valuable commodity. And myrrh. All these things were precious. And they came. They saw, verse 11. Notice the wording here. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Who is that young child? Jesus Christ. And they saw Mary, and who did they worship? They fell down and worshiped him. Hey, Mary ain't no him. They didn't worship Mary. There's a whole religion in this world today, and it's huge. And it's the worship of Nimrod and his wife, Mary. They didn't worship Mary. They worshiped him. He was a child. He was little. He was a baby. He was a boy. They worshiped Jesus Christ, not Mary. The worship of Mary is not in the Word of God. The worship of Mary is idolatry. Mary doesn't want anybody to worship her. Can you imagine? Mary must be weeping. Mary is weeping in heaven. Why are they worshiping me? Why are they misdirected to worship me? Mary was a good woman. God bless Mary, but Mary was a sinner. Proof of that is Mary's dead. Mary was very special. Mary was a virgin. Mary was chosen by God. What a wonderful thing. Mary prepared herself, but Mary should never be worshipped. They worshipped him, Jesus Christ. They came, they saw, they worshipped. Look at chapter 2, verse number 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, now Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Micah 5:2, we read it this morning, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though there be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. That can only be one person. That one person is God. A little child, a little baby, has not been going forth from everlasting unless he is everlasting. Look, you and I have not been going forth from everlasting, right? I don't care what they teach about reincarnation. You haven't been a bug before. And you're not going to be a cat if you're really bad, okay? You're not going to be a movie star, you know, after you die. You're not going to become somebody else. You're not going to become, you know, another thing. You're not going to get a second chance at doing it, okay? You're here, and you just had a beginning, and you have an ending, and then your soul's going to go to heaven or hell. But someone who is from everlasting has no beginning. That's Jesus Christ. He's God. He has no ending. That's Jesus Christ. He's God. They worshiped. Only one person in the Bible deserves worship. John is up in heaven, and an angel is showing him around heaven, and he gets so elated and so excited. You read the book of Revelation, you would be too. And he says, wow, and he bows down to worship the angel, and the angel says, whoa, stop, time out. Worship God. Don't worship me. I'm only an angel. I'm a created being. No one in the Bible deserves worship except God. Jesus Christ is God. Now, verse number 8. Herod said that he wanted to worship. And he sent them, the wise men, to Bethlehem, and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Herod did not want to worship Christ, did he? He showed his true colors. When the wise men went back another way, he sent out a decree, and he murdered all the children under the age of 2. Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted, for they were not. He murdered all those children trying to get the Christ child, and he didn't. They fled to Egypt. But his wicked heart only wanted to destroy. When the wise men came to the house, verse 11, they opened their treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Can I say this? Worship involves sacrifice. Worship involves sacrifice. If you're going to worship God, you've got to spend time worshiping God. If you're going to worship God, it's going to be inconvenient to worship God. If you're going to worship God, it's going to cost you something to worship God. It's going to inconvenience you. It's going to make you a pariah in this world. We are the filth and the offscouring of this world. We're worshiping God. It's going to cost you money to worship God. There are a lot of other things you could do that would make you money in this world. You know what we ought to do? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We ought to set down as our priority every day and every week and every month and every year and every second of our life. Okay, here is my life. Here is my time. Here is my schedule. Here is my wallet. Here is my everything. Here's my thought process. What does God want me to do? Number one, nail it down. Number two, nail it down. What does God want me to do with this? What does he want me to do with that? What does he want me to do with that? What does he want me to do with that? And then everything else, fill in the rest. You know what we do? We say, what do I have to get done to be successful in the world, to be the CEO of the company? Well, I have to do this. That's not seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's seek ye first your wallet. Well, you know what I have to do? I have to do this and this. And then push God aside. Oh, fit God in somewhere. No, fit God in first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. We're so afraid to live by faith. I'd be afraid not to live by faith. They worshiped. Worship involves sacrifice. Someone said that gold represents God's divine nature. Frankincense is perfect human life. And myrrh, his sacrificial death. They brought that to Jesus' body at his death. Now I want you to think about these three thoughts before we're through. What group are you in? Are you in the group of Herod opposing Christ? Herod was opposing Christ. Herod was against Christ. He said he was for Christ with his mouth. He said he was for Christ. But he did not want to worship Christ. Are you with the religious crowd? They had a head knowledge of Christ. They knew the Bible. They knew all about the Bible. They knew where he would be born. They knew when he would be born. They knew what the scripture said. But they had a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. Or are you in the group like the wise men, worshiping Christ? They took this journey at peril of their life and limb. They took this journey sacrificing to worship. They were obedient to the word of God. They were obedient to God's guidance. And they obeyed.